George Sadowski, thank you very much for joining us. And from the Finance Committee, Board Finance Committee. And we are going to go through an agenda. For today's session, we're going to provide background and session objectives. We then have overview of the public comments that have been received by theme and by submitter. We then have a time for Q&A and open dialogue about the community comments that have been received. And then we're going to talk about next steps, and we have some time for some general Q&A as well. We just want to highlight that the session objectives for today is to provide an overview of the submitted comments by theme and also by submitter. As part of the process, since the public comment period did end on the 8th of March, we are now in the process of preparing our responses to the public comments. And this session today is allowing community members to further clarify comments where necessary. The purpose is that ICANN.org can then use this clarification to better prepare the ICANN.org report on responses. So part of the process is that we want to hear clarification on the comments submitted. However, due to the public comment process, we are not here to actually provide a response to the questions or comments that are submitted. Again, it is for a dialogue and engagement to hear from the community, those that either submitted comments or would like to discuss the same themes, just to provide clarification to better inform ICANN.org so that as we prepare our report, the responses will be adequately prepared to answer the question. For this next set of slides, we're going to go over the public comments that have been received. Just as a brief overview for the timeline and the process, the ICANN draft FY19 operating plan and budget and the FY19 five-year operating plan update were all posted for public comment on the 19th of January. That public comment period ran approximately 47 days and closed on the 8th of March. The next key step is that the staff report, or the ICANN.org report on public comments, is due to be published on the 12th of April. This next slide just provides an overview of the public comment page, and it provides a snapshot at the time here at ICANN 61, where we had 41 messages posted, and within that message, there are a series of different comments by submitter, by theme, that we've then highlighted on the next subsequent slides. So this is a view of a table of public comments submitted by submitter on a preliminary basis, where you can see that we received over 155 different individual comments, and this provides a view of which submitters were listed on the public comment page. So we have a variety of different submitters, where we also highlighted the number of comments by submitter. We also just wanted to ask here in the group if there are any participants here today that have actually submitted comments. We wouldn't mind seeing if you want to raise your hand as part of our engagement. Great, thank you very much. For this next slide, we are providing a breakdown by theme, so a thematic breakdown, again on a preliminary basis as we're in the process of going through and actually sorting out all of the memos and all of the individual comments. But in general, you can see the number of comments that we received as it relates to a particular topic. So on the topics, we have budget development process and the document content. So you can see that we've received quite a lot of feedback as it relates to the documents submitted. The next item, the community outreach, engagement, and programs. We received a large number of comments related to that. And the next one is by far the largest category at this point that we've identified of the community travel support and funding. And then you can see contractual compliance, the crop program, our funding. We have a comment related to investments and funds under management. Again, just looking at the disbursement by topic, it's just something that we want to open up to the group, that if there are any specific topics that anyone joining us here today would like to cover. So currently at this section of the presentation, we actually wanted to stay on this slide and then open it up for additional clarification from any of the participants here today, whether or not you submitted a comment or that you see the topics and there's something that you would like to discuss.
Yes, my name is Jeff Newman. I'm one of the co-chairs of the subsequent procedures policy development process. The topic I'd like to discuss would be on moving forward with the new GTLD process. And do we want to start the discussion or just what? Okay, so in light of, and I know you all were there, there were a number of comments submitted by, it was submitted by the registries, the registrars, the GNSO Council, I believe it was also a Mark Monitor, and some other comments that were received. We need to continue to fund existing GNSO policy development plus its implementation. The documents that were released for public comment made explicit reference to, yes, while you're supporting the policy development process, there are no funds that are allocated towards the implementation of new GTLDs. As we know, going back in history, ICANN started budgeting money towards the new GTLD process for the 2012 round back in 2007, 2008, recognizing how complex that process would be and everything that would need to be developed. And that was for the 2012 round, albeit with the assumption, I think, at the time that it would launch in 2010. So really what you're looking at is that ICANN started budgeting for the process 2 or 3 years prior to actually launching the round. And, in fact, very important to note, ICANN started budgeting and spending money even prior to the GNSO finally making its recommendations and the board finally approving it. And that's critical because we know what we've heard this week is, well, it's not final. The policy process is still going. Yesterday, during a discussion with the board made it clear that they do intend to fund the new GTLD process, that they are meeting next month on a retreat to discuss the preparations. So in that vein, I mean, obviously, we're happy to hear that. I think what needs to happen are a couple different things. Number one is this preparation and discussing all the steps that need to happen. Number two is, and even without spending additional money, all of the employees that were dedicated to the new GTLD process have now been moved into operations, which is fine, so long as the person that they report to actually allocates those people's time to back to working on new GTLD issues. So that is, I think, critical for we, the community that submitted these comments, would like to see that specifically referenced in the budget. So number one, taking out the line that says that we're not allocating anything. Number two, even if those employees that are moving from the new GTLDs to the operations are going to be moved, that's fine, but a specific reference that employees will be dedicated to this project. And number three, how ICANN can meet the proposed timelines that are being suggested by the community of launching in fiscal year, fiscal year 2021, I guess. And that's not referenced, by the way, at all in the five-year plan, but that stops in FY20, I guess. Either way, we need references to that. So making the really long story a little bit shorter to sum up, before ICANN funds other projects that are not necessarily within its core mission, it needs to fully fund things like implementation of GNSO policies, which fall directly within. And any other projects that are not specifically referenced or have not been started need to be pushed to they should only happen if there are funds available to have those. What it seems like is the GTLD process has been pushed to only if funds are available, and that is not the way we should do it, especially given the unanimous approval in 2008 of the GNSO policy, which says that there shall be a process for introducing new GTLDs in a predictable, reliable manner. So it is an existing policy that is yet to be overturned. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I will want to address a number of aspects of the comment you offered, but we have George Sadowski here to offer a comment as well.
I sympathize with your concern regarding will the resources be available to do what you want to do when you want to do it. But two comments. First of all, the core of ICANN is not the new GTLD program. The core of ICANN is the security, stability, and resilience of the identifier system overall. That notwithstanding the fact that what you're doing is important. But second, it seems to me that it's a reasonable request, but if there are programmatic ties to the number to your numbers in the budget, what would stop other organizations or other ACs and SOs from asking the same thing, and we'd end up having a budget document that would be essentially more than a budget document, but it would essentially be an operational plan with all of the funds allocated to all of the activities of ICANN. I'm musing here. This is not meant to be a criticism.
Just a quick response. It is one of the missions of ICANN to promote a competitive environment for GTLDs. So that is clearly, it's not the only, but it's clearly in there. And as unpopular as this is going to make me to a lot of people, you know, fellowships, next gen, it's great. It's good for the community. I'm not saying, but that is one of those items that if there is budget, we absolutely should do it. But that question is, when looking at things that we have to do versus things that we'd like to do, I would argue that funding a competitive environment for new GTLDs and continuing to implement a policy from 2008 that is unanimously approved by the board at that time is of a higher priority and is more closely aligned to the mission of ICANN than some of these other projects that may still be completely worthwhile. Thanks.
Just to make very clear, the board is committed, and work will start. And obviously, the big work will start once the PDP is there. But we start preparations that support it, and it will be done, basically. So I think we don't need to spend a lot more time on that here. That commitment is there.
Thank you, everyone. I would like to take the opportunity of your comment, Jeff, to provide a more specific reminder of everyone in a more general fashion than simply for the subpro, but that applies to the subpro in the fashion that you described, is the principle that we have applied in this FY19 budget that differs a bit from previous practices of the ICANN planning or budget in the past. So as Jeff described earlier, we have retained an approach in the FY19 budget to include in the budget activities and projects that have either clearly been the subject of approval decisions or existing projects that are ongoing and that are resulting from either ongoing PDPs, ongoing reviews, or approved recommendations or of reviews, for example, or approved PDPs. So what Jeff was pointing out is that as a result of that approach, what we have not included are the resources that will be required for either steps of those existing processes that are not yet approved, that have not yet passed a gate of approval, though they may in the future. And on the basis of two things. One, there is obviously at the time that these processes will be going through an approval process, there is obviously the possibility that that approval is not provided, or that that approval, that the review process that leads to the approval leads to also that decision of approval being made at a later time than intended. So what we have been applying as a principle is to budget for the approved activities and the resources for the approved activities that are planned for during the time frame that we're budgeting for, which is FY19, and not yet budget for the following activities that will come after the gate of approval that has not yet occurred. So as it applies to SubPro, like other PDP development processes, the implementation, for example, activities of SubPro, but I could take another example, which is WS2, for example. The recommendations are in development, and they may be sometimes in a more finalized stage of development. What we have not necessarily then budgeted for are the implementation activities that will be subsequent to the approval of the recommendations that then lead to implementation activities. What Jeff was pointing out, specifically for SubPro, but that could also apply to other development processes, is that there could be implementation activities or implementation preparation activities that are carried out prior to the approval of the PDP itself, of the policy itself by the board, that are either useful or necessary or both to the timely implementation of the policy once it's been approved by the board. So we have retained the approach of not budgeting for the resources that are subsequent to those decisions. I want to illustrate quickly before I let Jeff and then John Nevett down in the room there, who he is in the queue. I want to illustrate that the budget of ICANN, I just want to make last two points before I give you the room, is that the budget of ICANN has seen in the past the reflection of including in it resources for activities that were speculative in the sense of not clear or sure that they would happen or that they would happen within the timing of the budget. And we've had a lot of these instances in the past. The challenge that that creates is that we may allocate resources as a result of doing that for activities that will not happen, simply not because they are not going to happen at all, but simply because they're happening later, and that therefore take away resources from activities that could have been included in the budget, but were not because the resources were not available anymore. So it is important for us to try to have as a accurate as possible budget that reflect the activities that effectively can occur and will occur, knowing, and I'll be very blunt and hopefully people can react, knowing that we have, there's a lot of wishful thinking sometimes in the schedule of policy development processes or reviews or other projects, and that things have a tendency to happen a lot later than we all would like. And sometimes we have reflected in the budget that desire more than a realistic expectation of resource consumption in the timing that they would actually occur. So as a result, we have tried to retain an approach that corrects that. I want to make a final point before I give you the floor. You've said something earlier, John, that reflects, I think, a perception that only what is in the budget at a point of time will then be worked on. And I want to give you a sense that's different about the budget. The budget is an action plan developed at a point of time. That action plan, or the quantification of that action plan, can change. And by the way, it changes all the time. As we all know, a budget is obsolete the day after it's finished, because by the time it's finished, something has already changed in the environment, and the activities that will be carried out will be slightly different than what was budgeted for. So what I want to be clear is that the development of the processes, the reviews, these projects move along irrespective of the budget, as long as, of course, the resources that are engaged on these projects can help carry these projects forward. But we are not simply saying, oh, we're going to stop the work on this policy development process because suddenly we've spent the resources a bit faster and we therefore need to wait. If we see policy development processes happening faster than we have necessarily budgeted the resources for, we can adjust, and we do adjust. So I want to make a general comment that would apply also to SUPRO as for others. If we see, for example, for SUPRO or for WS2, that these projects are leading to conclusions and implementation faster than we had originally planned for in the budget, we will then get into a process of reallocating resources, if need be, to reflect the change in timing of these projects, and that will be also happening with other projects. That's standard management of an operating plan and budget. Happens all the time. My point, therefore, to be very clear, is it's not because it's budgeted or not budgeted that it will happen or not happen. If it happens and it's not budgeted, and we all think resources need to be allocated to allow the separate, in this case, policy development process to move forward, then we will ensure we allocate the resources. The budget supports the activity. It doesn't drive the activity, if you see what I'm saying. I'll stop here. I think we have Jeff and then John.
Yeah, thanks, Xavier. And I appreciate that. Just a couple corrections. I would strongly encourage you not to group subsequent procedures with the other ones that you were, because the reality is it has and continues to be, quote, approved. There is, in fact, nothing that has disapproved what the GNSO policy and the ICANN board adopted in 2008. You may say that there are elements of the program that are speculative. I fully agree with you on that. And until there are further implementation guidelines, those elements are speculative. But I think subsequent procedures is in a different category than a number of others that are in PDPs or that are Workstream 2. This is something that's funding an existing project that's approved, to which the board put a stop on due to wanting to get additional feedback on certain issues. So it is different, and let's please consider it different. The second point is, I probably wouldn't be here if you didn't explicitly say in the budget that we are not funding or not including money for implementation of new GTLDs. The reason I am here is because of that explicit note. I fully understand that budgets change, but if that note stays in the budget, then people interpret that as meaning exactly what it says, which is that we are explicitly not funding the program. So I would strongly encourage you to reword that in a way that does not imply to the community that you are not spending any money on it. And in fact, even in a response from the staff to say everything you said, that we have staff that's devoted. I think Ashwin, right, it's in your group, or that employees are working on this issue. And, you know, to clarify that what was explicitly cut out is not exactly what you meant.
Thank you. John, just give me 1 second. I want to thank you. So I think your point is to reflect the reality of what I'm saying now rather than what is written that could be interpreted as a decision to not support a process, which I agree with you, that's not what the intent is, and that's not what the purpose is. And certainly the budget should not be a policy or decision-making exercise or document, to your point. So thank you for that comment. That's helpful. And we'll look at it in the eyes that you're pointing out and that you're giving, which is helpful, so that we clarify the intent and what also this statement is not trying to do, which is decide whether something is happening or not. The funding, again, supports the activities. It doesn't determine what they are. John, thank you.
Thanks, Abby. John Nevitt, one corollary to that, I absolutely agree with what you just said. It makes imminent sense to me. I just want to get confirmation that any money spent on what I'll call the next round of TLDs does not come from the new TLD program fund for the 2012 round. From this fund, we spent tens of millions of dollars paying back the community and ICANN for all the work that was done in preparation for this. I want to make sure that this new TLD program fund that showed in February 2017 that there'd be $95.8 million as a remaining balance, but in this budget is showing an $81.8 million remaining balance with $10.4 million in staff costs for the next 2 years for the 2012 round. I want to make sure that those funds are segregated, and I was looking for confirmation of that. Thank you.
John, may I ask a very practical question? Is that the subject of a comment that's been submitted in the public comment for the budget or not?
The registry's filed a comment with concerns that ICANN may be using for ongoing operations the new TLD program fund. We saw in the budget that the CCT metrics and program reviews are being funded from the new TLD program fund. There's something about $8 million in evaluation costs, staff allocation of $10.4 million. So, yes, we did raise those issues, and in light of the conversation today about subsequent procedures for the next round, we were looking for that confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you. So we were in addressing those comments, we may end up by being also able to address that specific point, but practically speaking, our answer will try to cover that as well. But at this stage, the new GTLD program funds and activities that are segregated, as you know, and you're using the information that is produced as a result of that segregation, does not currently support any specific activities relative to the next round. So the direct answer to your question is no, it's not included in the new GTLD program funds and activities that we are segregating for the 2012 round.
Thank you very much.
I think we have Marilyn.
I suppose I should start by first of all saying I'm back. I was here yesterday, sorry. My name's Marilyn Cade. I wanted to just ask a clarifying question to the question that John just asked. Because, and so I don't mean to be directing a question to you, John. I'm just going to ask the clarification. The previous speaker referred to evaluation cost. And I would just say as the BC that if it's the assessment or evaluation of the present round, then I think we would have thought that would come out of the new GTLD budget.
Yeah, The evaluation costs I was referring to are PDT, or pre-delegation testing evaluation costs. And then the CCT review is something we could have an open discussion about.
Thank you for giving me that clarification.
Thank you. Anyone else wants to? Yeah, Jeff.
Thanks. So, and John's comment and Marilyn's both kind of raised the interesting issue. So, funds that are now being spent, if any, on implementation, so starting with, I guess, the meetings you're going to have next month, the board's going to have, are we going to start a new segregated fund with the, because it looks like the recommendation may be, again, kind of a cost recovery. Are we now going to further segregate it, or have you thought about that issue?
So we've thought about it, but it's not yet been determined how it would be done, particularly because we're not yet done with defining what the subsequent procedures would look like. So this is a good illustration of the reasons why we are supporting the process of development of the policy, but also waiting for it to be more finalized in order to be able to determine how we would organize it. If there would be a similar funding approach that is suggested to the next round as it has been defined for the first round, I think we would have to as well organize a similar approach of segregation. We are now in a mode of operation where we segregate the new GTLD program from the ICANN operations, the PTI and IANA functions from the ICANN operations. We have been segregating recently as well the IANA stewardship transition expenses from the rest of the operations. So we are now quite versed in the different lines of reporting and segregation of activities, and we could and would continue to do that if the structure of the funding and the activities would also be finalized in the similar fashion as the previous round. Yes, thank you. In the attendance to this meeting, there were a number of people who submitted comments. Would anyone else would like to talk about the comments that they have submitted and receive maybe some clarifying information about them? I know the gentleman down there, you had said that you had submitted comments. Do you want to speak about them?
So this is John McElwain on behalf of the IPC. We submitted comments. I think that our comments essentially centered around making sure that there were the priorities that the IPC wanted to see were being funded. I don't think we had anything specific that I need to have answered here. We did note in there and wanted to really encourage ICANN to be focused on its mission. But I'm basically here to kind of learn a little bit more about the budget process and hear what other folks' comments are. So thank you.
Thank you. We have Marilyn in the queue.
Thank you, Marilyn. Cade speaking. I'm just going to comment on the BC comments very briefly to highlight one particular area that we focused on. We made specific suggestions about some cuts, some realignments that could be made because there's so many new people here that weren't here yesterday or that might have missed my pre-announcement at the public forum. I'm not going to go into detail on the readjustments that we suggested. We did also make some alternative suggestions about not making such drastic cuts in some of the community-facing programs, but the issue I want to highlight is the very strong concern that the BC has about replenishing the reserve fund. Of course, I understand that there is a separate comment process open on the reserve fund, but I think we all have to be realistic and understand that even though there is a separate comment process, there, of course, is overlap between the implications. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you, Marilyn. And are you expecting the BC to also comment on that separate public comment process?
With enthusiasm and vigor.
Thank you. And just for clarity for everyone, as you see here on the slide on the list of topics, there's been a number of comments submitted relative to the reserve fund as part of the budget public comment process. Marilyn was referring to the fact that there is also a separate public comment process specifically focused on the replenishment of the reserve fund. That comment process was opened last week, Tuesday, and is going to be closed on the 24th of April. And we will also try to make sure that the comments that are specific to the reserve fund are also reflected in this budget public comment process, are also taken into account as part of the reserve fund public comment process itself, because, as Marilyn said, there's overlap between the two. Any other comments that have been submitted that anyone would like to address, whether it's yours or is someone else's? I think we have Maureen in the queue.
Thank you, Xavier, I just wanted to perhaps explain the concerns of at large and that I expressed in my submission, and which also came across in some of the other submissions by the ALAC and other ALAC at large members. We just felt that some of the cuts appeared to be directed at the work which we believe is integral to the role of at-large, and that's to do with encouraging, attracting new members to, you know, through our outreach and engagement programs that we operate, which did receive sort of like attention for cuts, and that, you know, we do you know, we would like to see that, you know, there is no sort of like attempt to reduce the role that we actually have in trying to encourage more engagement of individual members in the policy development process, which is what we see as our role. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. In addressing this concern, any specific aspect of the budget that the at-large has commented upon?
Yes, I think our main concern was, one of them was the crop. We believe that this has been a very important part of enabling outreach by especially the leadership teams of the RALOs, getting engagement across the various communities within our regions to encourage that greater involvement, making contact with people. I mean, if we don't get out, if we can't get out, and for many of us, especially in the Asia Pacific region, which I sort of like represent, it's the greatest region and the most difficult to get around, and we have a lot of underserved communities, and if they don't hear about if they don't hear about ICANN, if they don't hear about at large, if they don't hear about what it is that we do within within ICANN, you know, I mean, it does put our does put the DNS at risk. It actually puts a lot of the situations that we're involved in as an organisation, and we need to get out there. So, if we don't have those mechanisms in which we can to facilitate that that contact, I think that's, you know, and it's that crop especially, but you know, other sort of like facilities that we were had.
Thank you very much. And as you know and you see, there's been a number of comments relative to the crop specifically, but obviously the point behind the crop, which is what you are making, is outreach activities, more generally speaking. So we will try in our response to those comments relative to the crop, or that touch on outreach, which you see there's other numerous comments on outreach that we have received as well. We will try to address the entirety of activities that are carried out by the organization relative to outreach, of which the crop is a specific part of, but only a part of. I think we have Marilyn on the... No.
I think it's Marilyn speaking. And I appreciate your last comment, because I was going to ask, is the special budget request then bundled in the community outreach / engagement / program?
In terms of category on the slide here, do you know the direct answer to that question, Becky?
Thank you, Marilyn. This is Becky. It is split between community travel support funding and then the community outreach engagement programs as well.
Thank you. As you, since we're talking about the topic of outreach and support to outreach activities that Maureen raised, and you see that there's a lot of comments that are at least broadly in that category or addressing these topics in the comments received. If I add together the second, third, and fifth category, which probably relate or at least touch on the same topics, this is about a third of the comments. So we will obviously pay a lot of attention to that, and we will try to make sure that we comprehensively address the concerns that may come out of those specific comments. Jeff, can I give the floor to Sally on specific outreach? Oh, so question from Jeff, and then Sally will come in the queue.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman, and this is not meant to diminish in any way, but the comments are important and need to be considered, but please don't take the number of comments to be more significant than the substance of the comments. So, yes, it's important, but, you know, a comment from, let's say, the registry stakeholder group, which is made up of, you know, a lot of members, or the BC for that matter, you know, let's not judge the number of comments as the type of concern. That's all I just want to say.
Of course, and well understood. Thank you. Sally.
Thank you, Xavier. Sally Costerton, for the record. I just wanted to let the group raise awareness that, thanks, Maureen, for your comments. This meeting, the org engagement staff have had a very generous allocation of time with the ELAC. And in fact, the whole session was given over to this topic to go into more detail, and for my team and myself to gain a better understanding of some of the nuances of the interplay between the budget choices and the requirements on the ground, which sometimes are in common and sometimes are vastly different. As Maureen says, it depends enormously. There are often very practical hurdles that we have to overcome in some parts of the world that are totally irrelevant in other parts. And I just wanted to put it on record that I know that my team and I speak for us that dialogue was tremendously helpful, and it adds greatly to this, the more, if you will, formal receipt of public comments. And I think anybody in any other community who has submitted comments on particularly this area and would like, I know the meeting feels like it's running out of time, but either at this stage or would like to talk to me separately, I'm extremely open to that. The more we understand about how we delicately balance these issues, as Jeff says, it's not straightforward. I think the better we can work together as a community to prioritise. So thank you, Maureen, for the generosity of your group, and I would, you know, like to extend that offer if anybody else feels that we haven't quite heard the specifics of the problem. Thank you.
And just to be clear for everyone, since the public comment process was closed so recently, and the comments are logically and usually submitted until the very end of this process, we have not yet had a chance to really go through the entirety of the comments globally or in detail. So Sally's offer is also in light of having the work of looking through the comments ahead of us rather than behind us. So there's a lot of knowledge for us to acquire through reading through their comments. And just so that you understand from a process standpoint, Becky's team has consolidated all the comments into one big document, categorized it as you see here, and what we do then is allocate these comments across the organization to what we call the subject matter experts, who are the people throughout the organization who are best placed to be able to answer and address the comments. And Patrick Jones, who's here with Sally Gosterton, are obviously the recipients of a number of comments relative to engagement activities. And in Kristen Willett, maybe the one recipient on GTLD-related activities, et cetera, et cetera. I think we have Judith in the queue.
Yes, it's Judith Ellison for the record. I also wanted to, talk about Marine and the ALAC comments, but I was wondering, in the ALAC, we commented on many of the areas here, but does it get submitted as a general? Does it get submitted because we have sections on it and crop? I'm just trying to understand your thing. Is it a total of 155 separate comments, or is this 155 brought out by a certain one? So, like, if you have, in the ALAC comments, we have many different areas that we've touched in. Are they broken out into the different areas, or I'm just concerned in the sense is that they'll see this crop is only of five comments, but it was a large chunk of ours as well as some other proposals. So when we had ours, is it categorized as one general or separate topics? And I was wondering some clarification on that.
Thank you for your comment. This is Becky Nash. I will go ahead and give you a view of how we actually arrived at this table, which is similar to our process from previous years as well. So when we receive a document from a submitter, we identify within the document the different specific questions, and we do parse it by topic. So we don't address the comments just by the submitter in total, but we take each paragraph and analyze, is it a specific comment to respond to? And we list that separately. So that means that throughout the large document potentially that was submitted, we could maybe have 25 different individual topics that we then categorize by theme. So just to let you know, we also in the published report do put the submitter, so you can actually see each individual paragraph or topic or comment by submitter to confirm that everything has been categorized as you would have wanted it.
And I'll add in to that the categorization that we are doing is simply to try to help us be able to better distribute those comments and also provide a little bit of generic understanding of the comments. But every single comment, irrespective of how it's tagged, will be answered. So there's no order of preference or priority given to any specific comment. All the comments will be answered. That categorization will also be revisited. I can see that when you have the crop separately from the general topic of community outreach, it's probably the same topic. So we will probably revisit that categorization to refine it. But I simply want to say it's an analytical exercise to help us ultimately better answer all the comments, and every single one of them will be answered. I just want also to clarify that when we said there's 155 comments, you have seen in the previous slide, maybe you want to show the previous slide, Becky, the list of submissions or the submitters, basically. So there's not 155 submitters or submissions, right? We take the statements offered by that have been submitted on the public comment forum, and we break them out. So we take one submission and we look at all the topics that we think that submission includes, and we then break out that submission into as many topics as we think it covers. And therefore, you can see that we have four at large, which is at the top, we have broken it out into nine topics. So there may be crop in there, there may be community outreach and activities and so on. So this is the way we are trying to consolidate all the comments and categorize them so that it facilitates our analysis with ultimately the intent to adequately respond to all the comments. The other use of that is that we will try to have a consistent way of answering comments that are in the same category, if you see what I'm saying. The comments may have been done a little bit differently with using a little bit different language, but we want to ensure that we also offer to the community a consistent approach in responding. If we have 20 comments on community outreach, we will probably try to have one response relative to outreach that tries to cover consistently the entire topic of outreach and not have 20 individual responses that may also not be very clearly consistent together, if you see what I'm saying. Thank you. Sorry. Any further either questions or statements relative to comments that have been submitted that anyone would like to bring? I see. I'm gonna call in people. So now that you're here, so for example, Aidan Federline is here, and I wanted to take advantage of this session to actually congratulate the newly formed GNSO Council Standard Committee on Budget and Operations, unless I'm mistaken. It got created effectively end of November, and that group has been very active immediately to produce comments on behalf of the GNSO Council. So Becky and I have witnessed the work of that committee that's newly formed, and I'm taking this opportunity to congratulate that group, but also to use it as an example of the community setting itself up to be able to assume a big responsibility that it now formally has to review and submit comments as part of the budget, because this is how the empowered community power of rejection of the budget can be exercised. I'm taking this opportunity also to remind everyone that the community power that exists now since 1st of October 2016 is that the empowered community can determine to reject the operating plan and budget of ICANN. It can only do so on the basis of comments submitted on that operating plan and budget that would not that would be determined to not have been correctly addressed by ICANN after the public comment. Without having submitted a public comment, there's no rejection that can be, in public comment that would not have been addressed, there's no rejection power that can effectively be decided. Which therefore means it's extremely important that the community can take and assume that responsibility of submitting comments in order then to have the opportunity, if relevant and appropriate, to then exercise the power of rejection of the budget. So the initiative of the GNSO Council and many other groups is very welcome, because it actually supports the exercise of that responsibility in the newly empowered community. I wanted to make that point. Aidan, any comment you would like to make on the work of the GNSO Council as CBO, or of the specific comments that have been submitted? Thank you.
Aidan Federline for the record, and thank you very much for that comment. I'll be sure to take that feedback back to the council and to the standing committee. It's very much been a group effort over the past few weeks as we have come together quite quickly to review the budget and to be able to reach, I guess, some rough consensus, at least at across our various stakeholder groups, to be able to find some areas of common concern. So thank you again for your feedback. Broadly within our comment, the themes that we put forward were to do with the need to prioritize resources for policy development within the community. Our comment is public, and I would encourage everyone to read it, and we'd be happy to hear your thoughts. But I'll leave my remarks there for now. Thanks.
Thank you very much. As part of the process to respond to public comments, I want to emphasize a little bit that the next steps for us will be, of course, to have a substantive responses drafted on each of the comments. As I indicated, the comments have been distributed yesterday across the entire ICANN organization with the subject matter experts on the various topics. So it's now in the hands of these experts, in quotes, to start drafting the comments. These comments drafts will then be sent back to Becky's team, who will compile them. What we then do is review the responses to ensure consistency, because as you understand, they come from different people within the organization, so we ensure consistency, that there's not to overlap or topics that are not necessarily addressed. And we then will have a review of those comments, both with the executive management team, and then immediately after with the finance committee of the board. You have Martin Butterman here and George Sadowski, who are, and Ron De Silva, sorry, Ron, I didn't see you had arrived, and Ron being the chair of the finance committee, and Lito, and Lito is not part of the finance committee, but is obviously a board member who obviously cares about this topic. Their presence here demonstrates to you the importance that the finance committee gives to ensuring that us in the organization put a lot of efforts and work to be able to ultimately adequately address the comments. So the BFC will be looking at the comments, the answers that the ICANN organization has drafted to address those comments, and will provide us with guidance, and I would call it a little bit of quality control over the comments draft that we will have produced. And after that step, we will finalize the draft report that will contain all the responses. We will then also provide it to the entire board so that the entire board has full visibility on the answers that are provided. Even though the board finance committee provides a very specific work and review, the entire board wants to and needs to be able to look at the entire set of comments. And I know Lito's presence is demonstrating that it's a very important part of what the board wants to do before it then considers the final budget for approval. This is obviously a very key and substantive information that the board looks at when it considers the budget for approval is how have the public comments been answered. So that's the sequence of steps. As a reminder, we are planning for approval of the budget and operating plan as finalized after review of the public comments in the mid to end of May timeframe. And from the board decision, from the date of the board decision, starts the 28 days of empowered community consideration of that board decision for potential rejection. So this is what I was speaking earlier about. once the board has approved the budget, the committee has then the opportunity to consider a rejection process if so desired. And there's 28 days to do that. So 28 days after the board approval at the end of May leads us to a few days before the beginning of the fiscal year FY19, which is July 1st, 2018. And if there would not be any rejection step moving forward from the empowered community at the end of those 28 days, then the budget becomes simply in effect on July 1st. If there would be a process initiated for rejection, then that rejection process would carry on to the next step of escalation. There's 7 steps in the entire process. And that would obviously take several days and weeks to carry out. So if that would be the case, what happens on July 1st is that the caretaker budget comes into effect in lieu of the full budget. And the caretaker budget is the subject of a description in the FY19 operating plan and budget documents that have been published. Don't remember the number of the section, but it's somewhere in document 2 where we describe what the caretaker budget would be. So I thought it would be useful to provide some clarification to that process. With that, is there any questions or further questions or comments on the public comment, the comment submitted, or the process for the public comment period that we on the budget and operating plan? I don't see any. Dear board members, any closing remarks?
I'll just add briefly, because you kind of covered everything. Certainly we're here. I'm Ron. Thank you, Marilyn. I'm Ron Da Silva. BFC chair. Obviously we're here in a supervisory role to ensure that not only the organization has a process for developing a budget, but that the process is followed. And our participation today is in fulfillment of that and kind of to help us accelerate familiarity with the feedback and the comments, because we will be looking at those alongside the organization as a final budget is prepared for board approval. So thank you for being here. Appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you. This is bringing this session to a close. Thank you very much for the time you have taken to attend this session, and it shows the interest of the community in this process, and we welcome that very much. So thank you for your participation, and we're all looking forward to responding to the comments, and we'll continue to communicate on that. Thank you very much.